All right, we're going to start in Proverbs 20 tonight. Proverbs chapter 20. And we're going to deal with something that I think we all struggle with. And that is being deceived. Especially in the internet age. You can find anything on the internet. Whatever argument you want to make, you can find the guy in his basement with a white sheet behind him that agrees with you and whatever it is that you want to talk about. First, I have some puns for you because it is Wednesday and you've been working all day. The fattest knight at King Arthur's round table was circumference. He acquired his size from eating too much pie. Ah, see, Christine got that one. That was a good one. I thought I saw an eye doctor on an Alaskan island, but it turned out to be an optical illusion. That's terrible, isn't it? Side note, if you want a good study on World War II, study the battles we had in the Aleutian Islands. Not much talked about, but tough, man. It just showed, it was one of the first areas where American grit was really shown, and where God was really shown. So, just a side note, if you want to do that someday. A rubber band pistol was confiscated from algebra class because it was a weapon of math disruption. No matter how much you push the envelope, it'll still be stationary. Help us. A grenade thrown into a kitchen in France would result in linoleum blown apart. Two silkworms had a race. They ended up in a tie. This one is not politically correct, okay? The midget fortune teller who escaped from prison was a small medium at large. The soldier who survived mustard gas and pepper spray is now a seasoned veteran. That's terrible. This one's for Brent. When cannibals ate a missionary, they got a taste of religion. I know. Proverbs chapter 20. Here's where my study started in my Bible reading. And I read a controversial verse in verse number 1. It says, "Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." We are back around again in the circle of reasoning that it is okay to drink, even for Christians. We're back around to that it is okay. You would have to be crazy to not see the destructive power of that and the destructive nature of it. And our government is only interested in it because they need to make more money. Otherwise, they would have kept their ban on it, but they didn't. But anyways, they want to make money. And so be careful with it. It is not okay biblically. I can run you through a number of verses in a matter of 5 minutes to show you it is not okay to drink. And if you do, you are deceived into thinking that it is okay. You say, "I can handle it." No, you can't. You are putting a spirit into your body of which will take over you and cause you to do things, A, that you don't remember that you did and that you have no control over what you're doing. A young lady, I think in her 30s, I think is what her age was, committed suicide last week, I was told, and drinking was involved shortly before and while she was holding the gun. And I don't know her at all, but my thinking would be, if we weren't drinking while we were shooting a gun, we probably wouldn't, you know, never one time in my life, and I was raised with guns, I was having a conversation with a guy this week about that, I was raised with them, and there was never a moment in my interaction with guns through my whole life where I thought, you know, I'm just going to shoot myself with this. It's never entered. Nor have I ever thought I'm going to shoot somebody else with it. That's never entered either. But I've never had wine to my lips either. And but we'll come back to that verse. So I know you think you got off scot-free, but we'll be back. All right, I was just jumping off. We just jumped into the kiddie pool. We'll be back. What does it mean to be deceived? Well, it means to mislead the mind, to cause to err. Deception is in your mind, and you, if you're not careful, will forego the battlefield of your mind. And you will allow things in there that will change the way that you think and change your approach to the Bible. As a Christian, your answers, and I'll just be upfront, we will not get through all of this. I can feel it. I can feel it right now. We're just not going to get through there. Just so you know. If you're not careful, you as a Christian, every answer that you need for your life is in the Bible that is in your lap. If you can't find the answer, either A, God doesn't have an answer for that, or he doesn't have an answer for it yet for you, or it could be, and we don't like this one, you may not get an answer for that. And what we'll do is we'll go try to find it somewhere else, and then either that or we'll bring our conclusion to the Bible and then prove it with some random verse pulled extremely way out of context to prove what we want it to say. And we can mislead ourselves, and we'll get into that too. It means to beguile, to cheat. It means to cut off from expectation, to frustrate or disappoint. Deception is not a good thing. And no one likes the fact that when you find out whether someone or something or that you were deceived, you know, many people, I won't poke the things Mark Rogers poked this last week. That was dangerous ground right there. But many people have been deceived by, I don't know, I'll start with one that was in my house, Melaleuca. That was one that deceived a lot of people. Amway, you know, they're in the same boat and they deceived a lot of people. I was offered the great distinguished privilege here in the last year of getting involved in the selling of gold because of all the money that I could make personally for myself and those around me selling gold. And I thought, no, I think that looks like this. And I'm somewhere down here and all that money is up here. You know, you got to see the picture of the start, you know, the guy that owns the company. You got to see his house in the video. He has a very nice house out in Colorado. It's beautiful. I'm like, yeah, all that money from down here is running up anyways. What is it? That's deception. If you join Mary Kay, you'll drive a pink car. Probably not. Probably not going to drive the pink car. I'm just saying. You know, that's all right. I'll leave the rest of them alone. Who or what can deceive me? There's five things that we'll talk about. Your heart can deceive you. You know that one, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. You know your heart can. People can deceive you. That hurts. When you find out you've been deceived by someone, a lot of friendships have been broken. A lot of families have been destroyed because someone was deceived. Your lips and your tongue, and that's not necessarily somebody else's. That can be your own lips, and your own tongue can deceive you. Sin can deceive you, and then favor can deceive you as well. So let's jump into it. Everybody put a smile on their face. Do this with your fingers, because we'll be turning a lot. Our heart, number one, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. You should be able to quote that verse. Maybe we should do this Bible drill style, and if you get there first, you stand up and read it. But it's Wednesday. No, I don't do that. Somebody would pull something, and then we'd be in a lot of trouble. Jeremiah, and then it'd be my fault that you pulled something. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above... I hate that word. And then what is it? Man, it's desperately wicked. And then there's that question. Man, who can know it? Well, nobody can. Except for God. God knows your heart. And the moment you begin to think you have your heart figured out, you have yourself in the greatest part of deception. Number one, it is a desperate case. You left to yourself will deceive yourself far quicker than anybody else will. Or any other thing will. You will lead yourself down the road that you want to go down. And you will follow, you know, when the white rabbit jumps down the hole, Alice, you make the choice whether you're going to jump down the hole and follow or not. And then if you jump down the hole, there's great things down there. Tweedledee and Tweedledum, that's down in there. You know, the Cheshire Cat, that's down there. The Queen, she's down there. Great things. And you say, well, that's just a weird kids movie. Yeah, I don't know that it was ever a kids movie necessarily. A lot of weird things in there. But when you're smoking certain things and doing other certain things, things are weird. What is that? That is just a case of just, that's how you deceive yourself. Well, this is going to be great. It may not be great. But the problem is, once you get down to the point where you know you've deceived yourself, then pride comes into play. And now I've got to go back, and I don't want to go back. Because then I have to say that I'm wrong, and I'm never wrong. Especially now. I think now with the internet and the ability to make a video and put out your thoughts on a subject, I mean, I'd be real careful. Unless it's Bible. Man, this is my thoughts on this. You know, we probably don't need to know your thoughts on that. Because then once you put your thoughts out on that, well, then you find out 6 months later that's not right. And now you either have to decide, do I just leave it there or do I go back and retract it? And then generally the people that saw it don't ever see your retraction video. And they've just put you in the wacky, you know, category of life. So be careful. Why? Because you are a desperate case. I am a desperate case. We are wicked. You are wicked to the core. I am wicked to the core. I live, if I'm not careful and I'm not watchful every day, I live for me. When I get up in the morning, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I want my coffee. That's it. And then when I come into work, you know, generally Joel's here. I'm like, come on, Joel, get out of here. What are you doing in this building? Go find another place to be. And if you're not careful, that's how you go through your day. Why? Because you are desperate, and you will deceive yourself into thinking you're better than what you are. Isaiah chapter 44 is another place that points out this deception that can happen in the heart. Isaiah chapter 44. That might be page 1074. I'm not sure. We'll see if it is or not. I don't know. For some of us, it will be. All right, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 14 says, "He heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will yet take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, and the part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even a graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God." You know what that is? That is somebody that is deceived into thinking a god that you have fashioned, and now that you're bowing down to it, it can hear you, number one, and it can do something for you. He said, deliver me. Verse 18, "They have not known nor understood, for they have shut their eyes, they cannot see, and their hearts, that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree?" They don't ever think of that. Their hearts aren't thinking of all the things that they've just done and that they're just bowing down to an oak tree. They're not thinking of those things. "He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his" what? "His soul. Nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? It is discretion that is lost." Discretion lost. Your heart can push you down a path where you think you've created for yourself this great veil and path of happiness that you've created with your own hands. And what is it? It's deception within yourself. This man here has essentially, this is the self-made man. He's taking care of everything within himself that his soul yearns for, yet he cannot even take care of his own soul, according to verse 20. He cannot deliver his own soul. He's made his God. He carved it out of the tree. He's bowed down to it. He has killed food. He has made a fire. He has nourished himself. And yet, what is he? He is deceived. He is deceived. He has lost his discretion. The question at the end of verse 20 says, is there not a lie, which is his God, in his right hand? There is a lie. Why? You are not supposed to worship the things that you do or create, or simply yourself. And if you do, you're deceived into thinking that you are better than what you are. Then you are simply not better than what you are, and I am simply not better than what I am. What am I? I am a desperate case, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here the Lord warns the children of Israel that they need to be diligent about something. This is diligence neglected here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 17. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 17 says, and it shall come to pass, if he shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. The only reason you would do that, if you're deceived and you turn aside and you serve other gods, because you would think in that moment that you, in your goodness and in your hard work and in your effort and in your energy, have created all of these things and supplied all of these things for yourself, when in fact you haven't. That's a difficult thing in our society to pick out, because you don't plant things in the ground and you don't grow things, and neither do I. We're not dependent on rain. We like rain. We need it to rain. But we're not dependent as we used to be. And the children of Israel were dependent on God to take care of his part of the rain so that their crops could grow. And God said, be careful that you take heed to yourself. Why? Because your heart can be deceived. You can feel like I've taken care of all of this stuff when in fact I haven't taken care of anything. All you did was put the seed in the ground and God did the rest. God provides the rain. God provides the sun. God provides everything that is needed. God made the earth that you planted the seed in. God made the seed that you planted. And if you're not careful, we can become deceived because we think that we've done something that we haven't done. We've created something. Parents, if we're not careful, can become very proud if you have good children. Well, look what I've created. Yeah, I haven't created anything. It's the grace of God that's done it. It's the grace of God that's allowed those things in your life. Brother Logan asked my dad the other day, you know, how do you have 7 kids that are still in church? And, you know, my dad gave a great answer. The grace of God. That's what it is. His heart hasn't deceived him to this point. He understands what God has done and is still doing in the life, in his life, and in the life of all of us children. Go to Romans chapter 16. Your heart can deceive you. Why? Well, you are a desperate case, and you can lose some discretion along the way, and if you're not careful, you can become very negligent in some diligence that you need to have in your life. Just simple things like getting up in the morning and thanking the Lord for some rain that's fallen, or that Saturday it's going to be 100. You know what I mean? That's a blessing. I'm thankful that God created a man with a brain who came up with air conditioning. Yeah, that's a blessing right there. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise until that which is good and simple concerning evil. Your heart is division that is caused. If you're not careful, your heart can cause that. your heart can cause a division. We live in the day and age of split personalities and all kinds of different disorders, and I believe some of those disorders are very, very accurate and very, very true. I believe they're real things. And if you're not careful, you can split yourself apart inside of yourself and be something around Christian people and be something else around lost people. And eventually you'll morph into one of them because you can't serve two masters. The Bible's very clear about that. And if you're not careful, you, even if you're serving the Lord, you have to be careful not to cause a division amongst the people of God. Because if you do, it generally is going to be about something that probably doesn't matter all that much. I mean, if there is a major doctrinal issue within the church, that's pretty widely known. But I find it amazing that a lot of times the things that people get miffed about are not things that are widely known. You know them, and maybe your best friend knows them, but that's about it. And those things cause division. He says, verse 17, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. We're going to have differences. We're going to have things that you like and I don't like. Let's just make fun of me, shall we? You all know that I like NASCAR, and you can make fun of me for that. All the hillbilly jokes, that's great. But that shouldn't be a point of division. Some of you like Ohio State. That's not a point of division. Hatred, but not division. Those things don't matter. You say potato, I say potato. But when it comes to doctrine, mark it. Now, that doesn't mean Facebook post it. That doesn't mean make a video about who you don't like. That means mark it. Take note of it. And let it be. We're not the hound dogs of heaven sent to correct everybody else. Well, listen, brother, I think, no, see, you started that wrong. I don't want to know what you think. And I have firm trust in my pastor that if he feels something needs to be taken care of, he'll be on it. He's generally speaking a pretty easygoing guy. But you can push buttons. In the areas of doctrine, those will push buttons. There's certain things you don't touch. I've learned a couple over the years. Say, what are they? None of your business. Doctrine is one of them. You don't mess with it. And it's his, listen, it's not my job to take care of it. It's his job to take care of it. And that's good for us to remember. Why? We're here to help each other. Now mark them. Mark them. Be careful of them. We shouldn't be going around trying to pull each other into what we've read or what we've seen. And shall I go further? Whatever latest blog you've found, I don't need to know. I don't need you to print me out something and hand it to me, because just going to be real honest right here. It's probably going to lay on my desk for a week or so. I may glance over it, and then I'm probably just going to throw it away. Probably what I'm going to do. Why? Well, I know I'm not that old. I get that. I'm just a kid. You know, I wet myself every once in a while. And I just certain things. I have accidents still. But my time is very precious to me. And I only have so much time to serve the Lord with. And I figure if what you found on that blog buried deep within the recesses of the internet was that spiritually important, the Lord would have pointed it out to me long ago. But he probably hasn't. And there's probably reasons for that. It's not our job. We don't have a badge. You know what we were supposed to do? Mark that person. Just make a note. Okay? They like to run this. And listen, some people are conspiracy people. Okay? Growing up in northern Michigan, everybody north of my dad had a bunker coming into the, you know, into 2000. They were selling food by the semi-loads, bags of beans. Great, wonderful, awesome. I love it. And here we are, 18 years later. They still have a bunker. They still have truckloads of food and beans, and, well, we should be prepared. Once again, I think whatever is going to come down the road, the Lord will take care of it. They say, well, if you were prepared, maybe, you know, bad things wouldn't happen. You know, I think there's a lot of other people ahead of us in this life that bad things just happen to them, whether they were prepared or not. So be careful. Why? Because your heart can run. And when it runs, we like to grab people with us. I just saw, I won't even mention it. I just heard about a different cult last night. I didn't even know it existed. So my wife looked it up, and it's actually a thing. I'm not going to say it from the pulpit because it's not that big of a deal. But I was just like, see, I don't even need to know that. I don't even know that this thing existed. And there it is. And there are people coming out of it. And it's as weird and wacky as you would think. Just take it to the weird and wacky part that everything else is. That's where they all are. And I'm like, why? It's just they're going to have this pure state of Israel. I'm like, no, you're not, because you're not Israel. None of you are Jews. Therefore, you can't be Israel. Just, I don't understand that. It's like when you read the Bible, you put in your own thoughts. Anyways, don't be deceived. Don't let your heart deceive you. People can deceive you. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to look at two of these instances where someone was deceived. 2 Kings chapter 4. And verse 28. Here you have the Shunammite woman. In this chapter, you have Elisha here, and in verse 28, here's what she says to him. Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord?" What's that? What's the answer to that? Did she desire a son? No, she did not. She did not ask for anything. Then she says this, "Did I not say, do not deceive me?" So it made me wonder, did she say that? Not those exact words, but look back at verse 16. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." Sometimes it's unintentional. Elisha had no idea what God's plan would be or what things God would allow in the life of this lady. And she didn't ask for this son. Or she didn't ask for this to happen to her, any of it. And this son comes to her, and she's very happy, and she's very excited. And verse 18, 19, 20 is, and they don't give you much of the story here, but it turns very quickly. The child's grown by verse 18. The child is dead by verse 20. Four verses after, he says he's going to be here. And she says to him, "Did I not say, do not deceive me?" I don't believe Elisha intended to deceive her. I don't think he did. And you got to be careful with the Lord, and that's why I'm pointing this one out. You got to be careful with the Lord, because sometimes the Lord does things in your life where you think, well, the Lord, you know, he never said he was going to do that. Well, he never said he wasn't either. And sometimes the Lord has to take us through things so that we can learn something, A, maybe just about ourselves, that we didn't know. And it's not that God's deceiving you. Listen, if God gave you the whole plan for your life, you'd want out right now. Because you'd look at your life and go, I can't do that. But God takes you through things. Why? So that you can learn something about yourself. And he doesn't intentionally, Elisha in no way intentionally wanted to deceive this woman. He wanted to be a help to her. This was something she did not have. I believe they were wealthy and they had about everything that they wanted, but here's something they did not have. Go to Genesis chapter 31. So people can deceive you, but it's not always intentional. And if the Lord is involved, it a lot of times can be something that God is just working out in your life or working you through in your life. Genesis 31, we have Laban and Jacob, and that's just a bad combination because they are both deceivers. They are both liars. And verse 7, here we have Jacob talking to Rachel and Leah both. And he says in verse 5, he says, "I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me, and you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me." So notice what Jacob, how he makes a difference there. He says, "Your father deceived me. It was undeserved. Jacob didn't do anything to deserve it. He changed his wages, but notice what Jacob says. But God suffered him not to hurt me. God, Jacob says, even in the lying, even in the deception, God still blessed, and God still got me through, and we are still standing here in Genesis 31, 7, with more than what we had coming into this. And sometimes that's a really good outlook for being lied to and being deceived. That you got through it. And it was unfair, and it was something that you didn't deserve. But did God bring you to this point? And if he did, and then I'll say this, if you're able to look back and say, man, they totally ripped me off. They totally lied to me. That's a good place to be standing. Because that means you're in the same place as Jacob, who can look back and say, listen, God blessed me to this point. And even though he lied to me, even though he deceived me, even though it was all wrong, God still blessed. And God brought me to this point so that I could look back and thank God for what he's done in my life, even though I'm wrong. Because a lot of times we get wronged and then we're done. And we just shut off as if we've never wronged anybody. And that might have helped Jacob too, because he knew who he was. I mean, he got to this point in his life by, let's just say, and be a little bit underhanded. I mean, just a little bit. He maybe lied to his father. I don't know. So Jacob was able to, number one, see that he made it through the deception. He made it through the lies, but more importantly, was able to see that God had blessed him. And that it was only deception and lies. And God had prospered him and kept him alive to this point. So, people can deceive you. But listen, your take on it will help you through it. And will help you see it. Go to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at a couple chapters there. We're going to talk about your lips or tongue. Your lips or tongue. Now, here's where it gets personal, because I can't blame anybody but myself. You ever say something you wish you could take back? Really? No one. That's amazing. Psalm chapter 52 and verse 4. Notice how the psalmist puts this. Psalm 52 and verse 4. It says, thou lovest all devouring words. Okay, so the question is, who is thou? Well, he is going to answer that for you. O thou deceitful tongue. Your lips or your tongue can be devouring. You know what your tongue loves to do? It loves to devour. If you are a person of great opinion, that means you like to give your opinion in a lot of different ways. And our society has not been helped with all the means to give opinion. Your opinion is your opinion. And that's the weight that it holds. And it only holds more weight if you are in somehow close to a person who is interested in your opinion. And that's why we don't like that. And then, if we're not careful, this is what we end up doing. We end up devouring people. Why? Because at the base of it, your tongue is deceitful. Because there is a connection between your brain and your tongue. And sometimes it becomes severed. And your tongue is let loose. And that rudder that drives the ship, they let go of the wheel and away we go. And we're just ranting and raving. And then you get about six sentences in and you realize I probably shouldn't have said most of that. But you can't back up. Go to chapter 109. How many of you cheated and went there already? James did. I knew he would. Psalm 109 and verse 2. It says, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. So you have several words in there. You have wicked, you have deceitful, and you have lying, all in the same verse. Now, who is that? Well, that's you. And that's me. That's us on our worst day. Well, I was just giving them the truth. Yeah, you see, that's a good twist on it. Well, they just can't handle the truth. You know, truth can be put out in a bunch of different avenues. I can give you the truth about the situation. A bunch of people in here battling cancer and different things. Doctors. You ever had a doctor with a horrible bedside manner? Anybody? Oh, yeah. If you've been in around medicine, you've bumped into them. And there's just, I've been around some really great doctors. The doctor that Aaron had on your first, I think it was a biopsy at Toledo Hospital. That dude was awesome. He was incredible. He was smooth. And then her doctor out in Indiana, he was even awesomer. He's just a great guy. Just was made for it. You know who's going to be a great, you know who is a great doctor? Zach Dooley. He is. See why? I think God built him for that. But those guys do what they do, and they're able to come in a room and tell you terrible news in a really nice way. Now, you've had the guys who haven't, so then you know the difference. So our ability to give truth is only great if we can do it in a great way. There's a lot of guys that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And there's a lot of guys that are idiots. Just because you have truth doesn't mean that you dispense the truth in a great way. Dispensing truth and swinging a sword oftentimes shouldn't go together. Preaching, teaching should be a help. It should be an encouragement. And listen, there are times where something needs to be said, or the passage that is being preached is just harsh, and so it's just there. But more times than not, even if it's a truth, there is a really nice, gentle way to say something. Because if you're like me, and the guy that's speaking is an idiot, I have this off switch up inside my head. And there's a little guy, that's his only job. He sits on a stool and he reads comic books until a guy like that gets up, and then he runs up the little spiral staircase and flips that switch off. And then I'm all done. Why? Because there's a lot better ways that you could say that. And you chose not to. So just because you have the truth, okay, great. Chapter 120, verse 2. Let's look at that one. Go all the way past chapter 119. That's a lot of Bible turning right there. Verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. So David understood his issue. He understood that there was a problem. He understood that there was something that he struggled with, and he wanted the Lord's help with it. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 in one hand and Proverbs 24 in the other. Ephesians 5 in one hand and Proverbs 24 in the other. They're up on the screen if you want to see them there. We'll start in Ephesians, and then we will come back to Proverbs. Ephesians 5, verse 6. I'm trying to find both. There we go. Ephesians 5, 6 says this, let no man deceive you with what kind of words? Vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of what? Disobedience. So there can be some disobedience. There can be some vain things that are said that are not helpful. Go to Proverbs 24, verse 28. He said, be not a witness, Solomon says, against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy what? Lips. You can be a person that is a child of disobedience when you are a person who likes to use vain words and lying lips. You have to be careful. I think there's a lot of application in your Bible of the word wicked itself, and I don't think it's all lost people. I think saved people can be wicked. I think saved people probably fit more into the wicked category than what we think. And sometimes our vain repetitions and our vain talking fit into that line of wicked people. God doesn't want us to talk about ourselves. You ever be in a conversation with somebody that's not actually a conversation? It's you talking and them waiting to jump back in about what they want to talk about? See, none of us laugh because we're all terrible at that. When was the last time you were actually in a conversation where you were actually engaged in the actual conversation, not sitting there contemplating what things you were going to say about yourself? We do that. Why? Because we're vain. We are vain people. I'm pretty much the best person that I know of. I researched it yesterday. I didn't come up with anybody else. Pastor John was close. No, but then I had a couple things that hurtled him. I was like, okay, I got to beat. There we go. Why? Because we're vain. And our mouth and our expressions and our talk. My youngest has a walk that just cracks me up. His kid at 7 years old is like he's just gonna conquer the world. Whatever. He's enamored with baseball and he throws pitches in the living room. And he told his mom the other day, he said, "Watch this, Mom. I'm gonna pitch with my left hand. Ball." Went and got it again. Now watch with my right hand. Strike every time. What is that? It's vain. And you know what's great? You don't even have to teach it. It naturally comes forth from them. You don't have to set them down and say, "Okay, son, here's how you be vain and just talk about how great you are in doing these things." You don't have to say that. It just naturally comes from them as a human being. So we can be vain, and in that we are disobedient. We fit into that children of disobedience. We fit into that wicked category. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Now this is a tough one, because this one is direct deception of self, is what this is. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the what? The truth is not in us." James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word." What is the word? It is truth. And not hearers only. What's that last phrase? Deceiving your own selves. If that truth is not in you, and that truth is the Bible. See, that's what makes us different from other people, from other religion. Because I believe the book in your lap is the truth from God that he wanted you to know. And if that is in you, you know this. You're a sinner saved by grace. And on your best day, you don't deserve to be in the merit and the grace of God. But if you ignore the truth and you become the truth, and you become the way, and you become the knowledge, then you've deceived yourself. And the truth of this book, you've become a hearer only. We are very good at coming to church and hearing, and going to sermon audio and hearing, or going to YouTube and finding our favorite preacher and just hearing. But where's the doing? Where's the application of what we're doing? We like supporting missionaries. Why? Because, listen, it's his job. Just go do. You, right? You go do. And that makes us feel good. But where's our doing? If we would all get on board and do, we'd cover that map this year. That's doing. That's actual, literal feet to what we're supposed to be doing. And if not, you know what we've done? We've deceived ourselves into thinking that we are faithful Christians of the Lord, when we're not doing anything. You know what? I pay Super Fitness over on Reynolds. I pay them every month. I do. I don't even miss a payment. I've been once in the past 2 months. Yeah, I'm a member over there. Tell you what. Yeah. We're tight. I know all the people over there. Except if you went over there and asked them, they wouldn't have any idea who I am. And guys, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We hear lots. But we have deceived ourselves into thinking that we're actually doing something by hearing. We're not. That's doing isn't hearing. Hearing isn't doing. As Pastor Sal loves to say, two things that are different cannot be the same. They say, well, I'm just busy. You know what's great about being busy? That whatever time you're not busy, I will give you a bunch of packets with John and Romans in it. And in your not busy time, you can go hang them on somebody's door with your own special map. I'll even write your name on it. It'll be great. Why? Because that's doing. And listen, that is a simple form of doing. But if we're not careful, we've slipped into that deception of self, into thinking, well, I'm okay and you're okay. No, you're not okay. I know I'm not okay. I'm a stinking basket case. I mean, then literally. Don't ask my wife, that's not fair. I'm not okay and you're not okay. And you know what we need to do? We need to do more doing than hearing. I'm great at hearing. I love listening to preaching. If you're going to give me an option of what to listen to, I would rather listen to that than anything else. And I'll listen to about anything. I might not be able to listen to it for very long, because the guy's such a crackpot, I shut it off. But I'll at least give it a go. I'll listen to it, but that's not serving God. Reading your Bible in the morning is not serving God. That is preparation for doing. Coming to church and listening to preaching is not serving God. It is preparation for doing. It is preparation for go. And if we're not going, then what are we doing? And we're not doing anything. And all we've done is just deceived ourselves into thinking that we're doing something that, come on, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. But sometimes it's easier just to stay in that place of being deceived. All right, number four. And this might be all we get. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Number four is sin. We can be deceived by sin. Romans chapter 7, and that's a great chapter that Paul wrote about, man, how sin works in us. And every time you read Romans chapter 7, you're like, man, he nailed it. I mean, this is my life, like every day. This is where I live. And in verse 11... he says this, for sin, taking, what's the next word? Occasion by the commandment, what did it do? Deceived me, and by it, slew me. Number one, in sin, there is occasional death. And not like literal death. But there is times in your day and in your week where sin wins and you lose. And you go down. And what did it do? Well, it just took that occasion to take you out. If you watch any MMA fighting, and I recommend it, it doesn't take much sometimes. I saw a guy get knocked out 2 weeks ago, and he got hit in the side of the head with the other guy's shin 30 seconds in, and it sounded like he hit the guy with a baseball bat upside the head. See, what is that? It's just an occasion. That's all. So that's just horrible. Yeah, but that's what sin does to us. Sin will just wipe you out. Sin will just uppercut you and you'll be laying on the floor going, what in the world just happened? And what did it do? It just took the occasion. The devil knows how to set you up. Your flesh knows how to set you up. I think a lot of times we give the devil credit for stuff he's not a part of. Sometimes it's just your flesh that just sets it up perfectly for you. And you're like, huh, well, I'm here. I don't even know how I got here, really. No idea at all. Well, since I'm here... What is it? It's just your flesh taking occasion. You know, if I wouldn't go to Mr. G's, I wouldn't be so fat. But when I drive by, it just seems to be the occasion. Say, how many days of week? Yes. Yes. Why? Well, he's there and he's open. There's people there. You know, I don't want to be rude and just drive by. What is today? Today's a great occasion to have ice cream. It is. Probably going there later. You know? What is it? That's just, then that's how we work in our flesh every day. And that flesh just takes the occasion. And then we're like, oh, stinking devil. You don't, no, I don't think so. I think the devil looks at you and I and goes, man, their flesh has got them taken care of. I'm going to go work over here. Just an occasion. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Look at two more and then I'll let you go. Hebrews chapter 3. I thought I'd get an amen out of that, but it doesn't count now, Nick. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, Lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, which is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the what? We are. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Was it? It was. And to whom he swear, he that should enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. You know what our sinful life and our flesh gives us? An occasional departing, which is why we occasionally fall. It's not all the time. And listen, you realize they didn't go into the promised land because of one day and one moment. Moses didn't get to go in. Why? Somebody want to say it out loud? What did he do? Smote the rock. That's it. Say, well, what was his heinous sin? He hit a rock with a stick. But it was the picture. And these people didn't believe. How many days? Well, maybe there was a lot of them, but one specific day where God said, I'm done. I'm out. So I don't think that God is, I can't say when God is done. I can't say in today's age when God is done and shut somebody off. But I know this, given enough opportunities, God will just let you go. And so you got to be careful of your occasional departing, that it's just occasional. That you don't get pushed off into things you shouldn't be in and a part of. Go to James chapter 1. We were already there once. Let's look at verse 22 again. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If we're not careful, here's what we'll do. We'll have occasional doing. And we'll think we're okay because we occasionally do what we're supposed to do. And the only thing we've done, once again, is just deceived ourselves. God doesn't want... Imagine if you just told your boss, listen, occasionally, I'll come to work. If I get up in the morning and I feel like it, I'll be in. But most days, I don't really feel like it. I'll just stay home. Yeah, that's not going to fly. But that's what we do with the one who died for you and died for me. Occasionally, yeah, Lord, I'll throw you a bone today. I'll pass out a track. Well, thank you very much, he says. What is that? And listen, we're not even hurting him. We're hurting ourselves by deceiving ourselves into not doing the things that he's asked us to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Our job is to carry the message. Our job is to be out there, to be salt, to be light, to be those things that God wants us to be. That is what we're here for. We're not here to go to church. Going to church is a great blessing and a great help, and it is biblical. But God left you and I here to witness to those who do not know him, and not just occasionally. He said, be doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know what the great illustration of that is? Is what you think you look like. And what I think that I look like. It was 20 years ago that I graduated from high school, and I don't really feel much different. I know I don't look any different. Haven't aged a day. Come on, that's all up here. Here's some of you guys this summer. I've already hurt yourself. Because I can do that. I got that. No problem. I'll do that. And then you do it, and you're like, oh. Shouldn't have done that. Why? Well, because we're not what we think we are. And We're not what we perceive ourselves to be. And our issue is this. It's not that we're, I don't think we're innately wicked. I don't think we go and look for things and sin to bring in our lives. But here's what we think. We think ourselves to be more spiritual than what we actually are. Well, I go to Hope Baptist Church. You know that we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I didn't think you did. And that's what you rest on. You know where my pastor went to school? Do you guys know that my dad's a pastor for 40 years? That's right. And we rest on that stuff. Now, you wouldn't say that publicly to the people in this room because you'd do what some of you were just doing, and that's chuckling. Why? Because that's hilarious. But that's in your head. Those are the games you play. Well, I went to church, and I do this. No. Who are you really? Just stop tomorrow, look in the mirror, and go, ugh. Man, sorry, sweetie, you got to look at that. And imagine what God thinks from the moment that he saved you. And what progress have you made? Or are you just back like 5 steps from when you got saved and all you've done is deceived yourselves into thinking, well, I've been saved 20 years. Well, great. Some people have had gym memberships for 20 years. If I go tomorrow morning, I could tell you, not by name, some of them by name, I could tell you the guys that will be there in the morning. I can tell you what machines, when I walk in, if I get there at 6:15, I can tell you what people will be on what machines at 6:15 in the morning. Why? Because they are there every day. Now, they look the same or worse than they did 5 years ago when I joined. But they're there every day. Now, they're not burning enough calories for the intake of calories that they have and for the sedentary life that they live the rest of the day. But they're in the gym every morning. It's when they're there, they're waiting for the guy to unlock the door. Come on, get! I got to get in and get my workout. But it's doing them no good. They've deceived themselves into thinking paying a membership and sitting on a bike, pedaling without sweating. It's key. When you're pedaling, you need to be sweating. If you're not sweating, you need to pedal faster. If you're on the treadmill or the elliptical and you're not sweating, you got to go faster. That means your body has just accepted the fact that you do this every day. And it's okay with it. And it'll just do that right there. And that's where we're at. We're on the spiritual treadmill. I'm on the spiritual treadmill. Here I am. How you doing, brother? Sister? Good to see you. And you're not doing anything. You're not sweating. You're not doing anything. What have you done? You've deceived yourself into thinking, you're spiritual and I'm spiritual. I see you're on a treadmill. Good job. Yeah. Now, don't take it easy. Don't put the incline up that much. You're going to hurt yourself. And we have deceived ourselves into thinking that what we're doing is actually doing something, and it's not doing anything. We're in the same spot we were 4 or 5 years ago. Sometimes I get irritated with myself for my lack of motivation spiritually just to push myself. Just to walk up to somebody else. Somebody was telling me this week, they walked up, they stopped their car as they were driving and went to talk to two guys standing outside a building just to hand them a tract because it was just completely outside of their box and they just needed to go and do it. And that was exciting to hear. Why? Because we need to do that. Because every time you are going to get outside your box, your flesh will be there. Not the devil, too much credit for him, but your flesh will be there going, whoa, 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 whoa. They're not going to like that. And so we don't do anything and we get back on the treadmill. I'm on the spiritual treadmill. I'm over here paying my membership. And that's the guys, that's all we do. And what have we done? Man, we've just deceived ourselves into thinking, I'm a great Christian. Come from great lineage. Great lineage. Doesn't really mean anything. I don't get any great favors in heaven because my grandpa was a pastor and my dad's a pastor. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care. God is going to judge me on what things that I've done in my life and what things I continue to do in my life for him. Have you deceived yourself? I hope not. But if you're like me, you probably have. It probably makes you feel good that you're a member of the gym. And every couple of days you go, man, I should be there. And it discomforts yourself that you think that I should be there. And yet here you are. Let's stand to our feet tonight.